funny. Yesterday, we had people came over, and then a bunch of guys ended up staying late. You know, so it's me and like John and Pastor Joe and Joe Grigoni, and we're sitting around, and you know, they wanted to play cards, playing spades. I love spades, by the way. That's a cool game, best game that there is, card game. Okay. It goes late into the night or whatever, and we are having questions on women. My gosh, it was like I was getting a women's Bible study. Oh my gosh. There's like, you know, and there was all this stuff, and we just, I just kind of felt like they're, you know, their sister, because I have two older brothers, and you know how that is. You know, you can have this like, so that's how you think, or this is whatever, or... I guess am I reading that right or whatever, or just kind of like, as opposed to like, it's very easy to look at actions and reactions or just even things that are done based upon like what we think we see. And I think we are that way with guys too, because I mean, I'm like, Pastor Joe recently said something to me that kind of stuck with me. He goes, you gave me too much credit. I just thought this. And I was thinking, guys and women think very differently. You know, he was just like, you know, and we're like, boom, 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 of course, right? And he was like, boom. So I was like, down, I got to get down. And I'm just like, yeah, but what, and we're more like this, and they're more like this, you know? And it's like, sometimes it's kind of like, and then they're like, and then it can lead to craziness, and that within the church, within the school, the students are figuring that out, you know? Watching Fairy, she wants to sit behind the guys, didn't even want to be near them. The guy would kind of just kind of beginning to smell a little bit, and you know, they're on top of each other, kind of, maybe not really on top because guys don't do that, but just kind of like they don't mind, they're just like, well, whatever. And so little Mia comes home last night and she's like, what was she saying? Oh, because this is the announcement they're going to make Sunday night, there'll be guys' night, like boys' night every Sunday night now. And basically all the young men and old and guys will be invited over here. But you already know this?
Yes.
Okay, I was just like, I'm like, that is a bad move right there, bad escape, but it'll be held here on Sunday nights. But it'll be just guys. So Mia comes in and she goes, I want to go. I'm like, no, you don't. She goes, yes, I do. I'm like, boys are smelly. She goes, oh. But we were just joking, just really basic stuff. So I did that. I said that to say because, and then we had this women's retreat some of us got to go to, and the guys are like, you know, what do you do there? You know, and the ones, a lot of guys like to go there because they just want to stare and see what we do there. You know, so what are we doing there? You know, so what exactly is it that you are like, and it's just a difference. But spiritually speaking, there are, you know, there's some things that are a big deal. And, you know, one thing I was telling them, the purpose of a women's Bible study, and it's made me think a little bit, and I don't think I have enough time in the sense of praying. I really want to hear from God, but it's made me think, like, what is it, you know, I explained, what's the purpose of a women's Bible study? And, because guys kind of, you know, sometimes guys have ideas where you secretly, you know, when I was in Africa, one purpose, the whole Bible study is how to please a man. I mean, physically, I mean everything. That's a Bible study. I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's when I got there. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm like, you know, it was really interesting. And then others are, you know, these secret revolts, Bible studies. You might as well call them like secret meetings where women were like getting together to like talk about their husbands or their situations, and it was just like whatever. Okay, I'm not doing that either. I'm like, this is very different. It's also not a place, just so we can just talk about this, where I really talk a lot about like, say, doctrine or like this is this, meaning like doctrine is like the main, we don't talk about the main topics of our belief. Okay, that's really, church is a great place, and Bible college is an amazing place for that. But this is more specific, because, and as I explained to the guys, every Sunday that a man goes to church, it's actually, in our society especially, a little easier than it is for a woman to go to church in certain ways. They don't know that unconsciously, they look at a man in that pulpit speaking, and he is preaching, and they say, oh, And there's a part of this that gets it. There's a connection. This is a young man, like even like a Harold or a Julian. Oh, I can go be like that. But no, when I sit there, I may gain like a spiritual father if he's a good man of God, and I gain a messenger of God. But I'm not going to have that connection of this is what I can be. Okay. So one reason for women Bible studies and that type of encouragement is because that's a question I remember it was in my head for many, many years. What's the deal? What am I supposed to be? What does that mean? And there's certain things like what was shared with me was, you know, certain ladies going through something, and I'm listening and like something's not clicking. And then I got the final piece almost as an offhand comment. And I'm like, and that's the difference. I'm like, I immediately knew that the reason that this woman was like this is because of that small piece. But to the mainly to the guys, that was just a small piece. But sometimes guys aren't necessarily going to know that that's the main piece. And also we may not have an environment where we can discuss the main piece. It's not going to be maybe discussed in church. Okay, it's just not going to be that main piece. It's just not the place for it. Also, it may not be discussed privately in a pastor's office because I might not be comfortable with saying that or talking about that. And it really depends on, I've also seen where some women are comfortable talking about it only to find out later on that the pastor has shared that, which is this is crazy. Okay, but that happens, unfortunately. So I say this to say that really it's a place where we would learn certain things and what is it in our design that God would teach us and we could know about God for ourselves and then also as an expectation toward our call. So it's kind of critical. I remember when I was in Bible college, I did my whole schedule around this. Because I realized that I'm not like, you know, my brothers, like my mom told me, you know, big realization, because one of my brothers is only 13 months older than myself. So when he went to the bathroom, I wanted to go to the bathroom the same way. And so I would spill on myself, obviously, because I was attempting to do what he did. And I was really upset. My mom said, because in my mind, I was wanting to follow what he did. And when he went here and over here, I was going to follow over there. But my design is different. And as such, I have to understand my design is different. I receive things differently. But if I'm not careful and I don't have like a proper way to interpret things, spiritually speaking, honestly, I can kind of like as a woman, we have an amazing ability as women how to shut down but to function. We can actually be completely shut down but be fully functioning people. But emotionally, we're shut down, but we're shut down in a lot of ways. We're not growing, but we are survivors. And if you have children, you can be 100% shut down, and those kids wouldn't even know it. And that's when you also read stories about that later on that comes out a certain way. You can say, ever say to a family member, I've had this where you, so let me tell you, let me understand this. You've been unhappy for 20 years? Yeah. And it's like, it's mind-boggling because you can see that she's taken care of all of these things. She has loved, she has extended herself, but there has been something missing. And yesterday made me remember when I was in a certain country, just in case it's listened to, but when I was in a certain country and there was this one woman and I saw her and she looked so down all the time. And I was there for a period of time. And then we had a women's Bible study and I forget what I talked about it, but it was basically as a woman, and then I think it was endurance and things we go through, whatever. And I was told she went home that night and did not sleep. Just stared as if like a whole like world had changed. And then I was told that her life completely changed. Next time I saw her joking, laughing, she was in her 60s. This wasn't a young woman in that respect. But like she told me later through a translator that she had been fully like released all she needed to was to be released. Now, she was an amazing wife, mother, grandmother, but had been living with stuff in such a long time. That's what I'm saying. We have an amazing ability to do that. And honestly, I can get to the end of my life having done it. But the question is, did I fulfill all that God intended for me? I endured it, but did I fulfill? Did I do my duty? Maybe I did. But did I get what I was supposed to get from God? It's possible. And times like these, hopefully God can speak to us or catch us and maybe give me understanding in a cruel world that's not going to give me understanding. And maybe if I'm not careful, because you can say, well, I have my Bible. I agree. But sometimes, and I can say this from experience, I take me to my Bible. And then my Bible seems awfully strange to me. Sometimes my Bible seems very harsh to me. Sometimes it seems very distant to me. Not the Bible. Every word of God is pure. But unfortunately, it's my emotional state I take to it. And we get this picture of Elijah where he's a mess. And then it really, God had to quiet him completely before the very word that God would have for him could be heard. And then, only then, could God give Elijah the next steps that he should take. We sometimes, in our emotional state, we are unable to receive. And we must get to a place where there's that quietness so that I can receive from God. So with that being said, honestly, for me, it's a sacred duty, even this fall and winter. I haven't taken it lightly, and I don't know how many years now, giving Bible studies, decades at this point. But there's something to be said. You know, there's not something better as a man, you know, that can keep his own soul than he that takes a city. Okay? Possess you your own soul. What I hope these Bible studies teach is possession. Not in that type of endurance, the bad endurance, but possession. Like, that must be so. Because if I have that, I'll have a ministry, I'll have a relationship with God, and I'll have an understanding that most do not have. It's an interesting place to get to, but it's gotten there through quietness. There have been women with many things to say. For Katrina's birthday, I gave her a book. It's called Intimacy with Christ. I renamed it, but basically, from Madame Jean Guyon, okay? And she lived in a time that was very hard for her. She was constantly persecuted, and she was constantly under, like, you know, she was, how do I put it, like, being misunderstood. But she developed such this relationship with Christ and wrote about it that so many hundred years later that we are still thinking about it and understanding it today. God has designed suffering in such a way that its original design, even after the fall, was to enhance our relationship with Him, not to separate us from Him. Its design was to, because, and I was thinking about this as we get into this, that maybe people say, why in the world does God allow suffering in the world? Well, man imposes that on man. And God allows it because it drives me to Him. What woman in this room if things are going well, is actually really, really going to say, go after God. You know, even Job, like, he would pray for his sons and daughters and whatnot, and but the closeness to God, that kind of stuff, really, we have to be kind of in desperation. And when I'm praying for something, I mean, God, Christ gives his examples on prayer and he on faith, and usually for the desperation part, it has been an example of a woman. The woman praying before a judge who will not give her what she's supposed to have. A woman coming to him and saying that my daughter is very, very sick. Can you help her? Because it is, and Christ has enjoyed that. The woman reaching out because she has some blood problem with her private parts, and she reaches out to touch him in desperation. These are the things that God has appreciated, not because he is out to torture us, but because in each instance, he has absolutely said the faith of that woman was amazing. He says, in one place, he says, virtue has left me. This woman was able to pull virtue out of me. There were a lot of people touching him to be healed or whatever, but this one woman pulled virtue out of him. That's amazing. And he said of this other woman who had the daughter, you know what? This type of faith, great is her faith. There is something that we have, that we as women can have, that comes with the suffering, in the suffering. And I was thinking about this because it's kind of a part, begins a part two from the retreat, and that is desire. Desire. Desire, like, is very much, there is a connection between that. And I think sometimes as women, we sit and we have, we are very much connected with our desire. And it can destroy us. Also, it can, and it can weaken us. And we have it. Sometimes it's simple. Oh, I just have a simple desire. All I want is my children to, you know, be okay. And then if that doesn't happen, we're traumatized. Because we say, oh, I only ask for something small. Oh, all I want is, all I've ever wanted was a chance to show my, to showcase my talents or my gifts. All I wanted to know is, do I have any gifts or talents? All I wanted was a good career. All I wanted was a happy family. All I wanted was a husband. All I wanted was not to be like the rest of my family that I've seen. These are all the interesting things that we throw out there as desires. All I wanted was to, I thought I'd grow up and I would have this. And I had these images. And every woman in this room has that. We are good at fantasy and desire, and they're connected. We're the ones, you know, that's why the idea of, you know, the whatever the wedding was going to be and the wedding dress. And, you know, it's not men who flood the theaters for fairy tales. It's women and children. You know, it's not men, you know, who walk around. Men don't walk around in their Prince Charming outfit. Women walk around in their fairy tale gown, princess outfits. Men don't go Halloween and say, you know what, I'd like to be Prince Charming. Okay? You know, nobody does that. But women, how many women, how many princess costumes have been sold through the years? Okay, we have these desires and designs, and they come up, and they are a part of us. And honestly, we can kind of sometimes feel hurt because we are not in tune that these desires exist. And toward the end, we can get bitter. We can get bitter because we think somebody else's, how about this, another woman is getting her desire fulfilled, and we're not. And then we can think we missed the boat. Our whatever is not, you know, the same situation. Sometimes in the Christian school through the years, that has been a problem. You're talking because they have a desire for their children, and that desire is strong. The child seems okay, but the parents have this intense desire for them. You know, and it's they, you know, project that desire. And so I kind of want to explore that a little bit, because maybe I can be released, because maybe I don't know how tightly wound I am in this one area or this other area. And maybe I don't know, and you could say, well, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But it is possible we live in this world that we have that you might not get it. And will that mean that your life was worth nothing or God did not love you? But it can feel like that. So sometimes if I don't identify it, okay, if I don't identify what's connected, if I don't identify the time of month I'm thinking about it, these are simple things that can absolutely destroy me as a woman. And we can live, I think we can, women are very strong. I mean, we kind of laugh because, you know, I love Mr. Alex, but being in the hospital with him, you know, we're just, you know, men can be very different. They're big babies. I mean, he's screaming like a baby getting a needle. I was in shock, you know, but this is the way it is, right? So we have this ability to endure. But we also have this ability to also endure in bitterness. And that's never been God. I mean, put a feather in your cap that you can endure. But if I am not enduring in blessedness, because blessed is the man or woman who can endure temptation, who can endure these things. We count them happy who endure. If I cannot look at my situation and find the blessedness in it, even in the endurance of it, then I will have missed a lot. How many have been with somebody toward the end of their life and you can sense their sorrow because they never learned the blessedness of life? Because they were so caught up in what didn't happen. And I mean, some of it's our own fault because we're the queens of the magazines and honestly, and the happy homemaker, and you can have your cake and eat it too, and what everyone, and we consider it loss, weakness. We consider weakness loss. We consider poverty, poor loss. And God doesn't say that. In fact, in his Matthew 5 Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm just, you know, formulating this idea and this thought, and there was a portion I didn't get to share, you know, at the retreat, and it's been coming up in 15 different ways. And I just want to start this conversation. And then also, I was thinking about it as I was teaching ancient history today. This desire, it can ruin me, you know, because I get mixed up in it. Eve in this desire for this wrong thing. Lots of other trees in the garden, and she goes for the one tree he shouldn't go for. That's the thing that's interesting, because the way it was shown to me when I was a child was like there was this tree in the garden and she shouldn't go to it. This big fat tree in the garden, and like, who wouldn't go to it? But when you read the scriptures, it's like there were maybe 1,000 trees and there's one tree over there God says don't touch. So that's the truth. And I think there are 1,000 trees in my life, and God has a tree over here, and he's not interested in us touching for reasons that are obvious. And we miss the 1,000 other trees, but we're very good discussing that one tree. We are all about that one tree. Desire started very early, and then it continued because you have Cain and Abel, And he was not happy, so angry. And this was a portion that's interesting. It said he started talking with his brother, and then he was so angry, and then he killed him. But in that, if there is like, God said to Cain, listen, if you're not careful, sin desires to rule you. There's this desire that wants to take over me. You know, and there are portions, and I want to get into them, but we won't so much now because it would take a lot of time. But there was a desire that David's son had toward his own sister, half-sister. And the Bible says he was sick. It was so much. The desire was that much. Sick. He was so sick. And his other brothers said, hey, you should go and just take it. Take her. And David himself had a desire toward another man's life. And it led to killing one of his good friends. Desire is very strong. And sometimes it can be given a place that it can own me. But desire is not me. If I am turned into desire, I am no more than my dog Grayson. Grayson desires food 24 hours a day. That's all he desires is food. And he desires perpetual affection. But I am not a dog. And, you know, as actually we were talking a little bit about this yesterday, and like dogs will eat themselves to death. If I have my desire, it will never be satisfied. And it will eat me up. I will never be satisfied. Desire cannot rule me. One of the reasons that God allows suffering, I believe, for a woman is because our desires and fantasies can be so intense that without suffering, without, you know, that suffering and without that, even without the disappointment, like Grayson just disappointed every day. You know, can we imagine just, can you imagine just putting out an entire bag of food and say, oh my gosh, look at him go. He's so sad. We should let him just have it. Or, you know, we have young people who are with us and the students or, you know, who would be with us. And if they could have candy all day, they'd have candy all day. If students would say, if we said, okay, for the rest of the school year, I promise you, no more homework. They would love it. We've got a new student who's never been in a classroom before. And it's very important to him. And he told his mom, his grandmother, that I come to school to play. And they said, no, 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 you go to school to learn. And he looks at them like, no, 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 no. I go to school to play. That's what I go to school for. And but he's never been in a classroom environment. So he doesn't understand that, of course, you and I say, of course not. You'll be dumb as a doornail by the time you're 20. And you'll be playing. Like, we know that we cannot do that. We cannot live like that. We cannot live with desire. But we say we have natural, but this is a good thing, Latasha. But do I really know what's good? My desire could kill me. My desire just could destroy me. My suffering helps tame me. And in that, there's some space in there where God can speak to me if I will let him. And I learn how to walk with my limp. And my limp is I don't get what I'm asking for. I'm not who I thought I would like to have been. People around me are not what I would like to for them to have been. My house is not in the order that I wanted to have been. And I have this idea. Cain had this idea. He's so angry with God, he killed his brother. And that's where women can get catty. There's nothing that you have that's going to help me in that. God has chosen to disappoint me. please write those words down if you write any. God Himself has chosen to disappoint me out of love. A lot of Christianity has and it was funny, I was reading something this other woman wrote, and I think, thank God somebody else said it. I'm tired of every song in Christianity being about how I'm beautiful in Christ and I'm beautiful and all of this stuff. And I think that's why I have a slight aversion to them. Because all day long I feel like it doesn't go anywhere. God is God. Of course I am all of those things. Because He's made me to be those things. But I must lift Him up. He is God. And He has chosen to disappoint me. Much like you have, if you're a mother here, you have chosen to disappoint your kids at times out of love. Because you're supposed to know better. Some parents don't, and that's the stuff that makes the headlines. Good parents don't make the headlines. You do your job, you don't make headlines. I used to think that about policemen when they pulled them over. I'm like, are you pulling me over because I made that left turn? Did you see how I did that? I looked left, I did right, and then I made that turn, and I got in that right lane, and I was sitting there in that right lane. How about that? Wasn't that amazing? Did you see that? No, what do they see? Whatever I didn't do. Bad moms make the paper because they're supposed to know better. They were supposed to disappoint that child. They were supposed to. They were supposed to teach that child disappointment and how to handle it and that it's okay. They were supposed to. Now, I don't like, you know, again, I'm sitting around talking about movies, but there's this one because it so said what's going on in this generation, and it's called Parental Guidance. And it is hysterical because it talks about our day and age. And the grandparent goes to the baseball game, and he's at the baseball game all excited because his grandson's pitching, and he throws a pitch, strike one. And you don't have to be good at sports to understand this one. He throws another pitch, strike two, and he's cheering them on. Come on, you can do it. He throws another pitch, strike three, and the kid's out. He's screaming, jumping up. That's amazing. And the mom's whispering, sit down, Dad, sit down. There are no outs here. What? No. We just want them to feel good about themselves. There are no outs. There are no what? And he goes off. And that's true. But that's kind of like a world that you and I would live in with our desires. But that's not correct. He says, no, of course a kid has to learn. It has to learn what an out is and what it is to be out. No, I don't need to rub it in the face, but that child needs to know what success is, and that child needs to know what failure is. And that's what a pitcher is, and that's what a batter is. And good parenting teaches both. Good parenting says that. Hey, you know, you win some, you lose some. That's the way it is. And where do we get that? From a Heavenly Father that has disappointed us often. But here's the thing, but we are never a disappointment to Him. He has disappointed us, but we are never a disappointment. He loves it. He sees it. I take that disappointment. I take that desire. I'm crushed by it, okay? And I take that and I say, God, all my desire, there's a great verse that says this, all my desire is before you. Things have not turned out the way I want to. And God says, look at that. That's heaven to me. But God, I'm a disappointment. Say, oh, no. Don't mix disappointment with you being a disappointment. Don't mix the two. You know, I had a couple students do a couple disappointing things today, and I laid into them. Took advantage of a situation. But if the relationship was there, and I said, what do you have to say for yourselves? And they're some of my best students. I said, I'm sorry. I don't walk away and say, what a disappointment. They're not a disappointment, but the act was disappointing. Okay? That's a disappointing act, but they're not a disappointment. And I am not a disappointment to God, but He is going to disappoint me, or He will allow me to disappoint myself, and He is going to not fulfill all my desires. But what an amazing life if I could fulfill His will. So there are a lot of desires. So I think the first thing we have to come to grips with, and maybe this is stage one, and I'm not going to talk much longer than that, is because I want that to sink in for a week. Because that would be great if it sank in for a year or two for me and for all of us. Because we don't know how much things are caught up in our desires. And we don't know, that's where envy is tied in. Envy is this idea that I'm not going to get something and someone else has it. But that's not God. God loves me. And honestly, my life can be so successful, even if it looked that I didn't get my desires. Now, I'm not here saying, we are, but that's by nature we do that. Every morning, Grayson wakes up, he has the same thought. And I'm not going to say that I'm not without my desires here. I have hopes and dreams. And guess what? Some of the times, I don't even realize I had the desire until it was disappointing. Anybody else in this room like that? And I didn't realize how much I wanted that. And that's going to take a little while to catch up. Okay? Because that's normal. But please don't mistake it for me being a disappointment or you being a disappointment. What would be disappointing is if I live in bitterness as a result of it. What would be disappointing is if I misread it. You and I do not have the blueprints to our life. And you say, well, I made some decisions and you don't know what, and had I thought about it now, I wouldn't have done that or whatever. I disagree. This is the way it looks for me. If God is God, He had to have been able to design a plan that had space for me to screw it up. You, as parents, ladies in this room, could not design a life so that your children cannot screw it up, can you? Can you? You know why? You're not God. But God can. God can design my life in such a way that Latasha, He knows. He knows he's in heaven thinking, because He's very personal. Latasha's really, she can screw this up. She's good at it. Okay. Then what makes me God is that I can design it in such a way that, no, I'm going to make a winner out of her. Now, it's going to look to her like she's not getting her desires. But I am going to make a winner out of her. I am going to design her life. And the people that she touches, people that come under her, the people that are connected to her, they will be affected in ways that they could not believe. That's God's design. And that's our exploration. We will explore desire. Not sex. Okay. That's a retreat. That's what we will explore desire, because it's important to. It's important we talk about it and be honest with ourselves and not like live in some idea where we're not. Let's be honest. Be honest, and then let's let God, do some things inside of us. You know, they always have spring cleaning. Well, let's have a winter-like renewal, and let's just see what God can do. So does it sound like an interesting topic that I think I'm settling on? I think it's important for us, and I think God will speak to us. I think He can, and I think if we give Him space, that He will. And we will explore it, because I think... If biblically speaking, it was explored correctly, I think our lives would be lived in a more peaceful way and more according to the will of God. Because if you go to the wrong church or you're in the wrong situation, you go and all they want to do is chop up who you are. Okay? And the next thing you know, you're nothing. You started off, you came into church as something, you left as nothing. You know, because all the rules and regulations, and you just realize what a zero you were. You know, all the laws and everything else. And it's like, who can live like that? And then or you feel so unclean because you have any desire. But I'm just saying that God's got a design in the whole process that included desire and it included on how he was going to work with it. But he's got a much bigger plan. So that's what I want to talk about, because otherwise I can kind of push certain things in my life down. And I'm, like I said, I'll end up in bitterness, or actually I'll end up in living them out and I won't care what anyone else does to me. And then I'll destroy the people around me. But God doesn't want either. God says, I've got something special. And so it's good. Okay. Any comments or questions just on this? Any comments, questions, in a sense of whether you understand what I'm talking about, you kind of get it, could I explain something more, anything. There's no bad question, and there's no bad comment. Or some of you stuck in, well, this is a really personal topic, Latasha. I don't really know that I want to share this out loud, but you are hitting the nail on the head. Raise your
hand. I must say that it's crazy. It's my first time here, and it's crazy how you're talking about this topic, and I've been in a situation where I feel like I'm desiring a lot of things that I shouldn't. So it's just, I don't know, it's just crazy how I decided to come tonight and you're talking about this, and I'm married and I have a husband. You know, I've been together for 16 years. We've been married since 2011 though. And he goes to church 3 times a week, and I see the growth in him. I see what God did in his life. I don't go to church with him because it's not where I belong. It's not where I feel like I do when I'm with you guys, but yeah, that topic is the topic you're speaking about today is very interesting. So it's like even when I'm thinking, like my thoughts, like I'm doing something wrong, but I'm not even actually doing anything, but just the thoughts, I feel are wrong.
Yeah, I think we're caught up in a lot of things like that, and I just want this is how I figure it. God, if we were a clock and God had made a clock, I figure on he knows how it should tick. So if he made me and he knows all that I'm going to have all these type of desires and whatever, then he knows how I tick. So I'm not going to be afraid of the word of God. There must be a better explanation and there must be guidance and help for me. And but I understand that's, to me, this is a very delicate thing because, you know, it can be, you know, you can feel uncomfortable or you can feel less than whatever. I think it's a touchy topic. But I do think if we're not careful, then the other guy, Satan, he gets to have more of a say than God does. Because we don't know how to say it, we don't know how to talk about it, we don't know how to whatever. So I just want to, it's more to me that we put it, I believe that God will work in each one of our lives. I really believe that if we put this before him, then we'll give him space. And then each one of our lives, in the deep recesses of us, he can actually speak and he can heal. And he can do things that we can't like see and we can't touch. And maybe like we're aware a little bit like what Lily's saying, but we're just kind of like, well, I don't know what to do with that. You know, kind of thing, you know, like we don't know how to deal with it. So, and I think it's not necessarily, we're not going to bring it up in the church service per se, or what have you, or we're not going to say even to the women's retreat and like, you know, whatever. But it's possible that we can say, okay, God, it's not that I don't want to know your will, whatever. I'm just confused. And then I'm confused. I go maybe between confusion and condemnation. And that can't be the way that God intended. Because he wanted fellowship. He wants joy. He wants what have you. But I will say that he will use different things. And he does things like, for instance, you disappoint your children sometimes when their desires may be headed in the wrong direction and to save their life. And I think that God has probably saved our lives in this room more than we know. You know, more than we know. So I would say this week, two thoughts. I am not a disappointment, but God has absolutely, like, I owe him much thankfulness maybe this week to meditate and think on how often he has disappointed me, because I probably wouldn't be sitting here tonight if he hadn't. You know, because there is a great verse that says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Like, maybe God wanted to show me something, but a few years ago, I'd have been completely uninterested. But because I'm in a little bit more desperate, because I got disappointed, but because my desires over here, he didn't let me settle. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Okay? So God made us hungry so that he could help us take the, you know, sometimes, like, you know, we all will get very hungry and, you know, somebody says, was that good food? And we're like, yeah. Then we think about it. I'm not really sure. I was so hungry, I just ate it. And sometimes there are things that with God, he's had to do that, you know, with us. And then I realized, thank you, I ate that and it saved my life, you know. It's just one of those things. Like, we had a student with a bad headache. I don't like the taste of that. And I just finally said, well, it depends on how bad your headache is, whether you're going to chew those chewable Advil or not. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Because to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet, right? But this is for us. So, but anyway, these are the thoughts. These are what I want to tackle or what have you. Any other comments that tells me, thank you, Lily, and anyone else that says, hey, this is absolutely, I'm about this. Talk to me. Give me some encouragement here that we're on the same page.
I like when you're saying that sometimes we can just be like completely shut down and living, because I feel like that, like, you're reminding me of the other Bible study you did maybe in the summer, like you say, like, we have bad memories and we just kind of could go into like shut down mode. So I think like a lot of times for me, if something like will just happen and I'm like, okay, instantly shut down, but I'm still functioning. And I was thinking about that, like at school, like if we have a bad day, we're still functioning. Like as a mom, you can't not get up.
Right.
You know, like
right.
You still have to function through the day. And I'm like, but it's not fair that I'm functioning and cutting God out of it. Like, he wants to help me. And I'm like, nope, I'm cutting off my emotions to everyone around me and to you. Like, I can handle this. But I can't. So I think it's really good that, like, and you also said, like, in our emotional state, we're unable to receive. So it's like maybe we're all going through something. We could be so totally shut down. And we just get here and we can just, okay, let's talk about something that, you know, I'm not going to go up to Pastor Jay and say, hey, by the way, I want to talk about, you know, what about these desires women have, you know, like on Monday morning? There's no way. Like, and I just love that we can come here and just be, like, very open with each other. And it's not about the kids. It's not about men. It's not about, you know, it's about us and God. And, like, we can really just receive what we need. And, you know, he knows what, you know, our best is. And he knows that, like you said, a parent, like Mia asking me if she can have candy 18 times. I'm like, no, because you know what's good for them. I'm like, okay, God, like, you know what's good for me, and that means the good and the bad that's happened to me. You know what has brought me to you. So I'm excited.
The word of God was meant to counsel us, not hit us like a hammer. So I would say that unless God shows me differently, which I'm open to, but I would like the fall to continue and letting the Word of God counsel us and exploring it as a group. And then letting God, it says it will go to the innermost parts of our soul. It's kind of dividing, and let the Word divide, and we'll let it counsel us. And that's the gentleness of God. David said, your gentleness has made me great. like he will go in and he will gently say, Tasha, this is probably not the best thing, but over here, you're gonna love this. Just wait for it, you know? So we'll explore it. We'll let the word of God counsel us this fall in this area. And then we'll just wait on God for what his next steps for us for that. Is that good? I think that's good. So, Father, we're coming before you because we believe you, that you love us and you want to counsel us. Because why wouldn't you want to help us? Such a lie from Satan that we have to hold it together and we have to deal with things and that we have to be kind of these superhuman, but it really dehumanizes us. And we feel like we're either robots or we're Grayson, the dog. And that was never your intent. So I'm asking you, and I believe with these ladies, that you would counsel us this fall and this winter, and that we would learn the delightful things and from your word, and it would speak and heal and help. Please hear that prayer. In your son's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Marcel.